Eric Smith joins us from the Air Canada Center. Eric, good evening. What did happen in that fourth quarter? Oh, my.
Yeah, what didn't happen, I suppose, Roger, or what could have or should have happened? I mean, the Raptors' offense completely stone cold, and give credit to the Phoenix defense as well. And then the flip side of that, yet again, the Raptors, their defense or lack thereof, certainly lack thereof, especially in that final frame, but arguably throughout the course of the game. And it continues to be the ongoing theme, the running theme with this team, especially over the last the last three games, and you could probably even find a number of games over the course of the last month where it's become quite evident, and we've been talking about it for most of the year, Raj. The team has been lights out offensively on most nights, but has struggled defensively on most nights. And on nights where the offense is not there, and the offense isn't there at the level at which you need it to be, and you can't simply just outscore your opponent, the Raptors aren't doing enough or aren't strong enough to stop teams simply defensively.
Well, that's the case. Phoenix shot 50.6%. You know, and this is another one, Eric, and it's easy enough to say, and you're right, there is no question. Like a lot of nights, the Raptors have had bad defensive efforts and their offense has covered it up. But this just go hand in hand with not only is the offense colder in the last couple of games, especially against Philadelphia the other night, but in that fourth quarter, Phoenix is just lights out, 33 points on the Raptors, and for whatever reason, the Raptors' defense, heaven forbid, appears to be getting worse.
Yeah, you're right about that. And I mean, just even look at the last two games, Rod. You referenced that Philadelphia game. I think when we spoke after that ball game, and I'll kind of still stand by this, I think that was a product that night of the Raptors simply not making shots. I thought they had a lot of open looks, and they just simply didn't shoot the ball well that night. And you know, Philadelphia played well, but that to me was a game that Toronto lost in a sense that they had opportunities. I think the Charlotte game, there's no way to even come close to saying that there was anything redeemable about that game in terms of the way the Raptors played on both ends of the floor. But if I'm remembering my numbers correct from, you know, almost 48 hours ago, DeRozan and Lowry combined for 15 field goals in that game. The rest of the team had 14 field goals combined. Tonight, Lowry and DeRozan were a combined 11 of 34 from the floor. And even my bad math knows that that's under 33%, Raj. So when your top two guys, when your all-star backcourt, when you know when you're essentially 50-60% of your offense struggles, and it goes back to what I said right off the top, your offense then is not good enough to carry you, and your defense has been proven to not be good enough to carry you through, and that's just a bad mix. So if one of, let alone both, DeRozan and or Lowry are off in a game, are you getting enough from other pieces to contribute to be able to keep you in it? And there's not another big-time scorer that's necessarily stepping up and providing a ton of depth in terms of scoring. You're getting decent production from Carroll of late, from Valanciunas. Nogueira got off to a hot start, but he had 11 of his 13 in the first quarter, then played in foul trouble most of the night. And then on the other end, the defense has been just poor. We keep harping on it, but the defense has not been good. And you got a Phoenix team coming in, Rod, on the second half of a back-to-back, and they go out and shoot just under 51% and absolutely blitz you in the final quarter, that's certainly not good news and certainly not a good recipe for this Raptor team. And it only gets worse from here with a San Antonio-Memphis back-to-back on Tuesday, Wednesday. So this thing is not good right now. There's no two ways about it.
No, three-game losing streak, and as you just alluded to, two tough opponents coming up as well. So tough times indeed. Eric, I got to ask you, first of all, about the situation with the fans. What exactly transpired? Did you get any word on that exactly?
I haven't yet, Raj, other than what I was able to see from my vantage point, not broadcasting the game tonight. I wasn't as close to the action as I normally would be. So from where I was sitting, you know, clearly, I'm sure folks saw it on TV as well. Something was thrown. What exactly, I'm not sure, but something was thrown on the court, and whether it was actually intended to be thrown at the Phoenix bench specifically, or if it just happened that that's where the fan was and it made its way over the bench and onto the court. There was certainly something thrown, and immediately team security from the Suns, let alone the Suns coaching staff and players, were turning around and pointing out a certain individual or individuals specifically. But again, in terms of what exactly was thrown, I'm not sure yet, and I haven't had a chance to you know, get back to the locker room to speak to any of the Raptor officials to find out any more. But as you kind of referenced off the top as well, with that going on kind of in conjunction or right around the same time as Kyle Lowry getting tagged with the flagrant foul on Knight, and getting ejected from the game, and that came moments after DeMar DeRozan, who went back to the locker room early to finish the game after rolling his ankle. He stayed in the game, but obviously with the score being where it was and maybe perhaps not wanting to risk any further injury, he ultimately left. So it was just kind of a lot of action, a flurry of activity in the final 2.5 minutes of this disappointing outcome for Raptor fans.
Well, we'll be hearing from Dwayne Casey shortly, and hopefully we get an update on DeRozan. Did it appear to be anything serious from what you saw, Eric?
Well, it certainly didn't look good on the replay. I don't know if you saw it, Rod, yet or not, but he elevated for the jumper and came down on his teammate's foot, on Jonas Valanciunas' foot, and the ankle certainly did roll over onto its side. So, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you and I are probably in the same boat as many people listening right now. There are times where you see those types of injuries and you think, oh, my gosh, the guy probably broke his ankle and he's going to be out forever. And he ends up, you know, finishing a game and plays without pain for the next 3 months and no harm, no foul, and you're good to go. And then there's other times where, you know, you see injuries like that that maybe don't look as bad and they don't seem to be as harmful. And it's suddenly a break or a strain or a sprain and a guy's out for a couple of games or a couple of weeks. So I'd honestly be speculating, Raj, if I were to say anything more than that's what I saw. I saw the ankle go over. He was certainly in a lot of pain as he hobbled to the bench and sat on the bench during the timeout and pounded his fist into the chair as he was being tended to by the medical staff and the training staff. But then he stayed in the game. So I assume that was a good sign. But then for him to kind of go out there for a couple of minutes, miss a couple of shots, get up and down the floor a few times, and then ultimately leave early. Again, I'm speculating, but I don't know if that's good, bad, or otherwise, the fact that he stayed in but then ultimately did end up leaving early.
Yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on it. And yes, it's only speculation, so we'll hold it at that. Before we let you go, Kyle Lowry, the flagrant at the end, more frustration than anything else?
I think so. I mean, the way he came swinging across the lane, I think he was intending initially to just sort of make a swipe at the ball from Brandon Knight as he was kind of getting into the lane, but the way that Knight contorted his body and elevated for that shot, Lowry, you know, came across the back of his head, and there's no denying he hit him in the head. It was a flagrant foul, and you got to be protecting players, obviously, when you're talking about, you know, anything about the head and shoulders. And to me, that was the absolute correct call. But I don't think it was Kyle Lowry out headhunting per se and trying to intentionally hurt or harm the head of a guy like Brandon Knight, a fellow guard. I didn't think it that way at all. I think it was merely a case of, you know, just a frustrated guy making a swipe for the ball late in the game and just kind of mistiming where he was swatting. And, you know, he took the punishment as he should because it was the correct call.
And that's the case. A tough night all around for the Raptors as they lose 115-103 to Phoenix. Three straight losses. Eric, San Antonio coming to town. You know what? Maybe it's a good thing it's a all-world opponent like that coming to town, just in terms of, you know, now the expectation is, oh, they're going to get killed against San Antonio. But if this doesn't serve as a wake-up call, the Spurs being in town certainly will.
I agree with you. And you take a look at the last few games, Raj, and I think you and I spoke about this on Friday night after the game against the Charlotte Hornets. And I think I remember saying to you that there were a lot of people, and myself included, that looked at that road trip. And, you know, you get caught looking at the team's record on paper, and you think that could have been very easily a 2-1 and perhaps even a 3-0 road trip for the Raptors when you think about, you know, going out with the opponents that you were facing and the opportunity that was presented to you against Brooklyn, against Philadelphia and Charlotte. Charlotte had lost 5 in a row on the road, came home, got one win against the Portland team. But you're thinking, all right, chance to get back on track after letting one slide in Philadelphia, 1-1 after the win in Brooklyn, finish 2-1, go home. You got a struggling Suns team, you know, closing out a road trip, playing on a back-to-back, a chance for you to get good at home again, maybe carry a couple of victories in a row before you got deal with San Antonio, who's now playing without Pau Gasol coming to town. You know, life's feeling pretty good again. Well, not so much, Rod. You talk about back-to-back losses now to Philly and Charlotte, followed up by a third straight loss tonight to the Suns. So, you know, three straight teams that hovering around the 500 mark, two of them below 500, and then now dealing with San Antonio and then flying to Memphis on a back-to-back, losing an hour going to the Central Time Zone. There's a lot of things that are kind of playing against the Raptors going into that Wednesday game before even, you know, say, oh, yeah, and you still got to deal with Tuesday and the San Antonio Spurs. And that's a game, for what it's worth, too, that's going to be broadcast stateside on NBA TV. It's an early tip, I believe, at 7 o'clock on Tuesday. So there's a lot of things about that game that you're going to want to certainly be up for from a Raptors perspective to not only get back on the winning track, but give yourself a little bit of extra juice going into Memphis, and also to not, you know, put yourself in harm's way in terms of getting embarrassed or knocked around for a 4th straight game in front of the national audience stateside.
100% there. Eric Smith joining us from the Air Canada Center. 115-103, Suns beat the Raptors. Three straight losses for Toronto. Eric, thanks.
Okay, Roger, thank you.